And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, here we are, election day again, primary day coming up this week.
Yep.
Actually, there's an important race in Pennsylvania to determine who controls the lower house of the Pennsylvania legislature.
Yeah, it's interesting that of all the things that are races that could happen, we've got a single district in a county in the Philly suburbs that's going to have fairly large implications. We had legislative elections last year and the even numbered years. But since then, there have been at least half a dozen changes in the state house where people resigned, and we've had to have re-elections and appointments and what have you. And the latest was a Democrat in Delaware County who was accused of some sexual improprieties resigned, and that left the House deadlocked at 101-101. So everybody's trying to grab this last seat. There's two women vying against each other, a woman named Ford for the Republicans, a woman named Boyd for the Democrats.
I understand the Republican is an acolyte of George Santos.
In a certain way, yeah. She apparently has financial problems in her background. A couple of bankruptcies in the last 10 years, some other issues about paying bills, and there's an ad out.
I thought the Republicans were the party of business.
Well, lately they've been the party of monkey business.
Monkey business, exactly. Business, right.
And, it's back to the two sets of rules. One for them and one for everybody else.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of more money pouring in. And then the other thing is there's an ad up by Josh Shapiro, the governor, who's putting his political savvy and what he just earned in the last election, he's putting it on the line for this lady over the abortion issue. And what he's stating, what his ad says is that if the Republican wins, they're going to pass a bill that's already passed the Senate, which will allow the abortion issue to go on the ballot, an amendment to ban abortions in Pennsylvania. And the governor can't veto these things. These go directly from the legislature. You have to pass it in two consecutive sessions. And with the Democrats in charge of the House, the second time it comes up, it won't pass, and therefore they'd have to start over again. Now, It passed once, right? Now, in some ways, the way the abortion issue has been breaking, you'd almost think that the Democrats would want something on the ballot that they could get their voters out against. But the
when would it be on the ballot? This November or next November?
It would probably be on this November, which is an off-year election. So we'll have to see. Of course, there's also the fact that Philadelphia has a hotly contested mayoral race and a race for council, and that is going to the turnout in Philadelphia. So I mean, there's different things in interplay, but if the Democrats control at least one house of the legislature, number one is they stop the Republicans from bringing up all these bad things. And number two is they could start putting things out there that they can start saying to the people of Pennsylvania, look what we're for. And look what the Republicans, it's not just what we're against. This is what we're for. So.
They could do that. But the governor could also do it.
He could, but it's not quite as, it would make it doubly effective. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
It would help.
Right,
and we'll have to see. But my God, the Democrats unexpectedly got control of the House, and immediately they had three people who resigned to get to either state senate or Congress or what have you. They had to hold all three of those seats. Then there was another race that was a state senate race that the Republicans managed to hold. And now, you know, we have this race that is not a safe Democratic district. It's one that Biden carried fairly easily, but Delaware County has a history of being Republican. So we'll have to see what happens on Tuesday. And there's a lot of other, you know, there's a lot of money going into it. The trial lawyers are involved, and the unions are involved heavily with the unions. And we'll have to see. And, you know, then we have the race in Philly, the mayoral race.
Now, the mayoral race doesn't directly or even indirectly affect the Delaware County election, right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But it's taking up, you know, some of the air out of and the ad space up here in Philadelphia. And it's interesting because nobody knows who's really ahead in this race that looks very tight. And the progressives, Bernie Sanders has weighed in and made an endorsement and things like that. And, you know, people in Philadelphia are a little apprehensive over the crime issue as to what's happening. So
is the Philly mayor a Democrat?
Yeah, Kenny, he's term limited.
No, that's not my question. What I mean to is it a Democratic win? In other words, does it matter who the Republican candidate is?
Not really. They don't have a strong candidate up. There have been years when it's been very close, but there hasn't been a Republican in that seat in a while. So since Frank Rizzo, I guess.
Rizzo.
So that's what's happening. And then Lackawanna County's got a commissioner's race. The Democratic side, there's at least five vying for it, but really it's down to three people for two seats. And we'll have to see. Two of them are, one is a sitting commissioner, one is a former Scranton city councilman, and one is, you know, former NFL football star. We'll see what star power.
Now, you like this football guy, right?
Yeah. You know, he's unabashed about coming out and saying, I'm a Democrat. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You're going to have at least one experienced lawmaker there. And, you know, and the Republicans are hoping, in the fall to steal a seat.
The Lackawanna commissioners have not been a distinguished lot in the last few years.
No.
I mean, they haven't gone to jail. They managed to avoid that. But they haven't really been an inspiring or even a memorable group of people.
It's a fairly low bar.
Yeah. I mean,
the Luzerne County commissioners had the same problem. One of them went to jail. And then they changed the whole makeup of Luzerne County, and they made it into a commission run with 11 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real mess. The problem is that they can't go back because it would have to be put on the ballot by the 11 people who want jobs. So, so be careful what you wish for. They tried that, by the way. They tried to do that in Lackawanna County. Chuck Volpe was behind that. And it did not pass. It was close, but it did not pass. And then last time for commissioner, he had one of his people running, Mike Janetta, running for regular commissioner, and he came in fourth. So Lackawanna at least is keeping its manner of governance at this point. Just a question of who.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the national campaigns. Because this week, Trump had what he called a town hall on CNN. Now, there's a lot of questions about this.
Yes. One of the big critiques, this is part of the rebranding of CNN, where Chris Licht has taken over, and he's tried to undo some of the criticism that it's all left-wing liberal stuff by kind of bending over backwards, trying to bring in a different approach. And someone said in criticizing what the format and what happened, it was, you know, you're not supposed to make the news. You're supposed to report the news. And they, you know, the way that Trump is covered really doesn't fit the manner in which he runs. He just, they call it the fire hose effect or other things, where he just spews out lie after lie after lie and idea after bad idea after bad idea. And you can't do enough in terms of fact checking or to outwit him in live time. The other thing that came out of it was the audience and how they picked the audience. You know, this was more like a rally. They only got people who were pro-Trump or supposedly independents in New Hampshire. But I saw Chris Sununu, the governor, on TV, and he said everybody he saw that audience was a Trump supporter.
It went even further than that. A person who was in the audience said that in the moments before the show started, when the staff was prepping the audience for how to behave during the show, they told them that they could applaud, but they could not boo.
Yeah, no, of course. That may have been meant to not boo the Caitlin Collins, but there was nobody there that was going to boo. Let's put it to you that way. There was nobody, anything that Trump said, no matter how ridiculous, and some of it was very ridiculous, nobody was going to boo that.
Now, Anderson Cooper got on the air and defended this thing. He said, well, you know, the guy truly lies and he has to be challenged and you can't challenge him and that's no good. But he represents a lot of people, so we got to put him on the air. He represents a lot of people. Doesn't mean you have to put him on the air by himself.
Right, or the format.
Yeah. Why do you expect that in England, there's a tradition of confrontational interviewing. That they take for granted. If the newsmen don't know how to do confrontational interviewing, and if they tried it, they would be fired because it's regarded as impolite.
Yeah.
So you can't expect that. So therefore, if you really want to have a debate, you have to have another candidate.
Yeah.
Not just Trump by himself. Cooper's right. Wrong.
Right. And that's what engendered the response that... don't try to make the news and look for ratings. And by the way, the ratings they looked for were didn't last. You know, by the second hour, they were back to their normal rating rate. So, did they sell their souls in order, to try to do something?
I don't think they sold their souls. This guy looks to build an audience. So for an hour, he built an audience. It didn't work the second hour, but it didn't hurt him. He did good on the first hour in terms of his sales. Just shows you that businesses, you can't rely on business for democracy. You can't imagine that private industry can do what the government does or that politics can be superseded by business activity. Politics is a public activity, not a business activity. You want to have a debate about public policy and candidates, that shouldn't be left to profit-making institutions to figure out how to do. That's something the public has to do, mainly some kind of public authority, a government authority. Then you'd have a chance of having, in the case of this discussion, at least two sides. Nobody says Trump wouldn't get his point of view across, horrible as it is, but he should have it within the context of somebody who has an interest in challenging him.
And there's a question as to whether the Republicans will ever get to a series of debates, whether he'd even show up for debates within the Republican primaries. So, it looks like at least one person is going to enter the Republican primary race in the near future, and probably two. Tim Scott in South Carolina, and Ron DeSantis got his Florida legislature to do his bidding. And said that he doesn't have to resign. They changed the law. He wouldn't have to resign in order to run for another office.
But DeSantis' campaign nationally seems to be falling flat.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be building any momentum.
No, this nonsense about it turns out anti-woke isn't the thing he thinks it is. It might play well in the villages, but beyond that.
You mean the old age home down in Florida?
Sort of, yeah, with the golf carts,
yeah.
with the Trump signs all over them,
yeah,
where a bunch of people voted multiple times last time, and and has the special exemption that Disney World has,
right? But they're not going to lose their special exemption.
No. And meanwhile, DeSantis continues to play the tin horn dictator. He's gotten the legislature, his toadies, to pass another bill that exempts disclosure under the FOIA from how he handled certain funds and policies, and not only for current and future, but to make it retroactive. So that there's no.
So in other words, you can't raise the question of where'd you get the money and how'd you spend the money.
Right. Right. And by the way, in certain things, he's doling out money. I saw, I forget which board or whatever he had, one of his political cronies is getting paid $400,000 a year.
You have a problem?
Well, I'm not a taxpayer in Florida. So,
no, you're not. But, if they spend enough money on that, they'll need to draw it down from the federal government. You're a taxpayer to the federal government.
Federal government. Well, that's the whole thing. All these states that attack the federal government and then have so much of the money come from the federal government, bite the hand. Now, there is a Republican that's running that wants to, remedy that. That's Vivek Ramaswamy, this young guy who's full of himself, who says, I want to get rid of a bunch of the cabinet and administrative positions. When asked which ones, the only one he answered was education. But we'll see if he's any better than Rick Perry, who forgot the ones that he, the third one that he wanted to get rid of.
McCarthy and the MAGA Republicans, when they passed the phony bill that they passed to put a cap on government spending as their answer to how to handle the deficit, included in that bill a provision that no federal agency should be able to issue a regulation without it being approved by the Congress before it goes into effect. In other words, every regulation that has to have an up or down vote in the Congress. There are thousands of regulations that are proposed. There's no way that that could happen. Just mechanically, there's no way that that could happen. That effectively ends all the agencies.
Yeah, and that's what we're going. It's going to be up in the Supreme Court on the Chevron doctrine, which part of that is that the court says that Congress can't delegate certain things, so it's a twofold attack. It's a twofold attack.
But they're there. In other words, we're at that point right now.
Yeah.
It's not something that we're anticipating.
Yeah. By the way, you talk about the McCarthy budget. They're complaining about what's happening at the border, but it would cut thousands of agents from the Border Patrol and money to help protect the border, so they can attack the administration while handcuffing it.
Well, that's exactly right. Isn't that the right way to do it?
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing they had in there, an awful lot of the provisions tucked away in there are just giveaways to the fossil fuel industry again.
There, so, I'm afraid Biden has agreed to go along with Manchin's idea.
Well, then there's a question of whether Manchin's going to become a third-party candidate. I guess he's going to look at the polling in West Virginia and whether or not he has a shot, or wait until he sees if Jim Justice wins the primary or doesn't win the primary.
Jim Justice is also a candidate in the George Santos mold.
Oh.
I mean, he's got plenty of financial problems.
Yeah, well, and he got elected as a Democrat and immediately switched to Republican. I do want to get back to Ramaswamy, though.
Back to him. Stay with him.
Yeah, he has another idea.
Oh, good.
And that is that anybody under the age of 25 should not be able to vote.
But he got a problem. The Constitution says 18.
The Constitution says 18, but he wants to push this idea that in order to vote, either you have to serve in the military or you have to take a civics test.
Now, it's a civics test.
You know, why only the 18 to 25-year-olds? Well, because Generation Z is very heavily voting Democratic, and they're coming out much more so than the millennials and, you know.
Yes, they are voting. That's true. But, you know, it's in the American tradition to force some voters to interpret the Constitution as a condition for allowing them to vote. I mean, that was the technique that the Ku Klux Klan used in the South to keep African Americans from voting. And they did that for 50 years, 60 years.
And they call that literacy tests.
Yeah, literacy tests.
And, of course, they apply differently to whites and blacks.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So the white would be given the easy question, like, who's the president of the United States? And the black would be asked about to explain, you know, Section 3 of Article 1 of the Constitution.
Exactly. Exactly. So this idea of literacy test by Ramaswamy is right out of the Ku Klux Klan playbook.
Yeah. Well, it's everything, you know. Any way to stifle the vote, the outcome of the vote.
And it's interesting that Ramaswamy, who after all must be, if he's not an immigrant, he's the descendant of immigrants, the son, the grandson, the great-grandson, doesn't prevent him from becoming an acolyte of the Ku Klux Klan.
No.
Ideas count. It's not your skin color. Well, what's in your head.
Talk about, you know, the Klan and things. Did you see the current lieutenant governor of North Carolina who's running for governor?
Black guy.
Black guy, and he's a Republican.
Right.
And he came out and said that the civil rights movement was terrible for blacks, that it hurt blacks more than it helped them.
Why?
Well, you know, all these, when blacks could now go, you know, integrate businesses and things, it meant that the black-owned businesses got less customers, fewer customers, because people now have better choices. Things like that.
That, you know, by the way, is a strain of thought among certain small business owners in the black community. Has always been.
Yes.
Always been. There is, it's a form of nationalism. Why were nation states created in Europe to begin with? They were, and who created them? Businessmen who used the national border to protect their business. Protectionism was the whole point of it all. These black businessmen have the same attitude that the English and the French capitalists had in the 15th century.
Well, look what happened with the Negro Baseball League. All of a sudden, Hank Aarons and the Willie Mayses could play in the majors.
That's right. And then there were no more Negro League. The Negro League disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. There's no question that he's right about that. But that doesn't mean that was bad for the African-American population of America.
No. You know,
because there were very few black businessmen. Let's face it.
Right.
Very few.
And don't forget their audience was limited.
Well, of course, but they had a lock on that audience.
Yeah.
That's true. They did have a lock on that audience. But if you went into a black community, in this, wherever you went into a black community, if you added up everybody who belonged to the Harlem Chamber of Commerce or the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce or whatever, how many people do you think it was? 100? Maybe. Meanwhile, there's 100,000 people, 200,000, a million who live in Manhattan or in New York City. So whose interests were served? The black businessmen, they're the ones who mattered? Or the black consumers, the workers? They're the ones who mattered. So this guy is, you know, from the viewpoint of the black businessman, he's telling the truth. Didn't help him. But from the viewpoint of the American people and the masses of black people, it certainly did help him.
And, of course, the white supremacists love guys like this.
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But the thing is, it shows you that you may not like to do it, but if you don't do a class analysis, you get taken in by guys like this.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. So we have, this is the kind of people we have running for office these days.
Well, the Republican Party is the party of lies, sexual aggression, sexual exploitation, petty thievery, and grand thievery. It's exemplified by Trump, Santos, and Lauren Boebert, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she may be in trouble, but she's got a year and a half to work that out in her district. The word that comes, its question is, who's running the party? And they talk about, well, it's the Marjorie Taylor Greens or whatever. But is she really running the party, or are the people who vote for it running the party? The word, Hillary Clinton's word of deplorables, comes to mind at times.
Well, who's running the party? The Jeffrey Yeses of the world are running the party.
They're able to exploit that.
Yeah.
That's right.
They got the party to nominate their people as judges. They get the laws passed that they want passed. They get the tax cuts that they need and want. So right. Who's running the party? They're running the party. That's what hegemony means. Ideas are the ideas that everybody else thinks are normal, correct, common sense ideas. Why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you do it? Because they benefit only those guys, and they don't benefit the American people. That's why you shouldn't do it.
Well, that's like I said, all the bill that McCarthy proposed on the budget, it spends most of its time on fossil fuel industries benefits.
Exactly. Oh, and wait a minute. What about your friend Comar? Wasn't he going to, on Wednesday, unleash the information that proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that Biden's on the take? Not Hunter, Joe.
Yeah, well, didn't quite work out that way. The report says we couldn't find anything.
Couldn't find anything.
But you've got to remember, they don't care about that. They just care about the headline.
Right.
They just repeat the headline. That's what Trump wanted from Zelensky in Ukraine. Just say you're investigating him. You don't have to. That's what he wanted from his appointee in the for Attorney General. Right. Just say that you're investigating the election, that there was fraud. You don't have to prove it. Just say
right.
it.
Right. Just let me and the Congress handle it.
That's it. Me and the R's.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. That's it for this week. We'll see what happens in Delaware County.
And we'll know the results.
We'll know the result, and it'll be important in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it truly is. It truly is. So, all you can tell people, we used to joke, vote early and vote often, but at least vote early.
At least vote early. All right. See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.